OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. The OTB Podcast Network.
What's on the line for Ireland tonight?
Oh, here we go again. What are the permutations?
No, just tell us what's on the line. I don't need the full permutations, but like, what ultimately, like, why does this matter?
Well, I think firstly it matters because Stephen Kenny needs a win. We're four games in and it's starting to drag on a little bit. And I think the performances that they've shown, particularly in the last week, deserve a victory. So first off, for the confidence of the squad, the confidence of the management team, for the entire shit show that's been going on over the past week, they need a victory to leave this group of games with a smile on their face. They also need a victory, I think, for our seeding for the World Cup draw, which takes place in December. A win here, a couple of good results next month, and there's a fair chance Ireland will be second seeds. Otherwise, we're looking at Ireland being third seeds in a group that only one team qualifies automatically from. And even the team that finished second goes into quite a convoluted playoff system. So you want to be in the top two. And looking at the way the seedings have possibly been going, like, you could end up in a group with Belgium and the Dutch. Worst case scenario. Like, there's always the possibility things work out in your favour. But that's why all these matches matter. And the other thing is, you don't want to be relegated from your group in the Nations League. So we got away with one last time out where they decided to change the Nations League. So we finished bottom of our group. We should have been relegated down to League C. But they gave us a reprieve. At the moment, Bulgaria are bottom. They play Wales tonight. You would expect that we should, next month, beat Bulgaria at home, and that'll be fine. But worst case scenario, you end up getting relegated and you finish bottom of this group and you're in with the likes of Slovenia, Luxembourg, who looks set to get promoted from League Four. Like, there's not too many attractive games in there, and that has a knock-on effect then for a few years' time in the next European Championship. So these games now all have a certain sense of importance. But I think right now, they just need a win for themselves.
There's all sorts on the line. Finance as well. Go on.
Could they not just make like a five-team League B or something and just stave off the threat of relegation?
Well, I wouldn't rule that out. With the state of the finances of European football, I wouldn't rule anything out at this stage.
Yeah, it is quite important. So when was the last time that Ireland were a third seed for a draw?
Jeez.
It kind of feels almost that finishing second has been somewhat of an achievement.
No, we would have been third seeds for the draw for Euro 2020, where we're in with Denmark and Switzerland.
2002 World Cup qualifying campaign as well, wouldn't we? Like, we had the Dutch and the Portuguese.
Yeah, Portugal and the Dutch. So listen, it can be done, but you're going to have to produce it.
Damien Duff, Robbie Keane,
exactly.
Richard Dunn,
Shea Given. Some of Roy Keane's greatest ever performances, so...
Yeah,
it can happen. But listen, we have been third seeds on quite a regular basis, and that's one of the reasons that we've struggled to qualify.
And do you get the sense that from what Stephen Kenny's been saying this week, from what the players have been saying this week, that they have a huge idea of the importance, not an idea of the importance of this game, but do you think they're putting a lot of weight on this game tonight? Do you think that there is still a little bit of short-term pain for long-term gain in terms of what Stephen Kenny can do experimentally, or are they very much thinking right now, by any means necessary, we need to clock up a couple of wins in this thing?
See, I don't get this short-term pain for long-term gain. Like, if we had gone to Slovakia, so the suggestion there seems to be, if we'd gone with something of a more pragmatic style of football in Bratislava on Thursday night, we might have got the result. If we threw a few more crosses into the box, maybe we would have won the game. There's nothing we've seen over the last few years to suggest we would have won that game with any different style of football. There's nothing to suggest we would have created as many chances as we did on Thursday night with a different style of football under Mick McCarthy or Martin O'Neill. So I don't think there's any short-term pain. I think he's playing a style of football that already shows it can get results. They just need to put the ball in the back of the net. And as Darrell Horgan said, by any means possible. You cannot have better chances than Conor Howran had last Thursday night or Shane Long had at the weekend. You cannot ask for more in terms of creating opportunities. Somebody just needs to take them. So I don't think the players are in any ways really aware of certainly the Nations League permutations. Maybe it's been mentioned about the seedings for the World Cup draw. And it's been hard to get a sense of what the players truly think at all, because firstly, we're not around the squad. We're not let near the squad. You're relying on these Zoom press conferences that really since Friday, since post-match in Slovakia, have just been dominated by COVID. So Enda Stevens yesterday talks for 20 minutes and there might have been two questions that weren't COVID related. Likewise with Stephen Kenny, as much as he tried to bring it back to football, and I touched on this yesterday, that, you know, I was as guilty as anybody when I was talking to him in the post-match press conference. You could tell all he wanted to do was talk about the performance, to talk about Jason Malumbi to be excited because he had seen what he had planned for the last 6 months start to come to fruition on the pitch against Wales. Yet it was the sideshow. It was COVID, COVID, COVID. Do we even have a future for international football? Could things have been done differently? So it's been hard to get a sense from the outside, which all the journalists are right now, of what's going on football-wise because COVID has just dominated this entire week.
And yet the style of play is actually discernibly different. Like you can literally point to how we keep the ball better, how we try and be creative when in possession, and at the same time, from the first two games to the second two games, have got better as a team who are defending as a unit as well. Like there are clear signs that Gilesy pointing out that was there 8 or 9 friendlies that Martin O'Neill got to start with when they were actually friendlies, and like remember how bored we were of like, oh God, give us any competitive football by the time that eventually rolled around. Imagine if that had been the scenario here, we'd all be going like, well, you know, what are we trying to do? Like, what does the team actually look like? Because we haven't had these competitive games. So what's your take on how patient people are being at the moment with Stephen Kenny? Because I definitely see people making that argument that you were rebutting earlier on about one of the other previous managers would have actually won that game. And then they also see the argument going, they don't like this. There's text in going, what if, are we in danger here of becoming Georgia? Technically very good, but not actually scoring any goals.
I don't think we are, because I think they've created so many chances over the last two games that the goals will have to come. That like they are chances that every day of the week those players should take. Like you mentioned boredom, and I think that's a key point in all this under Stephen Kenny. A huge amount of people around the country have fallen out of love with Irish football because it's boring, because it's dull, because they don't want to pay their 50 quid on a Wednesday, Thursday night to go and watch Ireland in the Nations League because nothing is going to happen. It'll be a 0-0, it'll be a 1-0, we won't have any possession of the ball, we'll scrape a victory, we'll scrape a draw. Whereas now, over the next couple of years, providing people get back in, from what we've seen over these two games, you can go and think, you know what, this is going to be enjoyable. This is an Irish team who are going to go and try and do something, who look like they've got a plan. When, as I keep saying, it feels to me a very modern style of football. So they don't always dominate possession, but they win the ball back high up the pitch. They win the ball back in the halfway line. They get the turnovers that all the best teams try and do. And when they do that, they don't give it back easily. Sometimes they try and get teams on the counter-attack. Sometimes they are a little bit direct. But also sometimes they just sit back and control the game and try and put 20 passes together. Like Keith Andrews on Thursday night was probably the most vocal of the backroom staff, or maybe it was just I could recognize his voice a little bit more from the sideline, but kept shouting patience, 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 that it didn't need to be 100 miles an hour. It didn't need to be just flinging it into the area. It was actually, when we get possession, let's take a breath. Let's try and control this game a little bit more. And they did that. So, listen, there's going to be negativity. Some people feel Stephen Kenny doesn't have the CV, but I'm actually surprised that it's gone performance-wise as well as it has, as quickly as it has. We've heard an awful lot from players in the last window about the amount of information that's been given, about the change in system. And you cannot deny, if you've watched those first two games, that it is a world away from what we were seeing a year, 2 years ago. This is a team who want to try and play a progressive brand of football. So the goals do need to come. Results do need to come. I think he will get away with this month and next month, and it looks as though there's going to be a friendly against Bosnia, and there's games against Bulgaria and Finland in the Nations League. But next March, those qualifiers will begin. And if suddenly, you know, Georgia roll into town and Ireland aren't winning that game, absolutely the criticism is going to come, regardless of what the style of football. But this style of football looks as though it's going to get us more positive results because we're creating far more chances with it.
Mm. Yeah, like it just would have been nice to have had this period last year and that it all comes to fruition perfectly before a playoff, if that's where we had been. You know,
absolutely a wasted yeah. 2 years.
Like one of the things that people had thrown out about a potential pitfall of Stephen Kenny was, would he be able to command the respect of the dressing room? And obviously you can see the way that they're playing, the way that they've taken to his instructions, that is not going to be an issue at all. That's totally ridiculous. Like did that criticism, I wonder, that perceived criticism come from a place of maybe the Brian Carey era where coaching was different or where players were less receptive to coaching at that point? Have we moved on a lot in whatever the intervening 17 years where coaches like Stephen Kenny will get given a bigger break by their own dressing room?
Yeah, I never went along with that anyways. I think the dressing room is a totally, the Irish dressing room is a totally different place.
Hang on.
That we don't have the superstars.
It was definitely an issue under Brian Kerr. I mean, this is for whatever reason, revisionist history, whatever, this is not spoken about, but that dressing room were not willing to listen to what he had to say in the same way that they might have been if he'd been somebody with Premier League experience. You can dress that up any way you want. You can debate this if you want, but that's certainly my memory of the stories that were coming out at the time and all the back channel talk and all the gossip coming from the players, whereas, there's too much work, there's too many videos, he's making us do too much. And I'd say if you ask those players, and if they were honest now, they would say that they could have worked harder with Brian at that time to try and implement what he was trying to get them to achieve.
Yeah, I'm not debating that. And here, you're more senior than me, Jer, and I was very much following Ireland as a fan back in the Brian Kerr era. But when this debate happened, the night the discussion was happening about Mick McCarthy, Stephen Kenny, and with Kevin Kilbane in studio, Kevin, who is Brian's biggest fan, said, yeah, there were players in that dressing room who were looking at Brian Kerr and wondering how he got this job, that why wasn't it given to one of the other big names that were being linked at the time. And those players weren't the English-born lads, as they're often described. Those were some of the players who had come through the system here as well. But this dressing room is very different from that dressing room. And one of the things I always felt was that Stephen Kenny was very fortunate with the type of player he was coming into. So who are the leaders in that dressing room? Seamus Coleman, who day one said, huge respect for anybody who works their way up the system, who's worked as hard as Stephen Kenny and gets this job and is not a throw toys out of the pram type of player. James McLean, who he had at Derry City, who he knows well. So McLean, again, a huge supporter when he was in with us last year, very much backing Stephen Kenny. Shane Duffy, who a lot of people will question, can he play the style of football? Again, as a kid around Derry when Stephen Kenny was there. So some of those key players he knew, likewise Enda Stevens, the older players he'd been around, and then the young guys coming through, as we're going to probably see tonight, where maybe even three or four of them might start, the 21s, all seem to have been quite exhilarated by what they did at 21s level. And then the players from the out, listening to Callum Robinson last week, who probably didn't have a huge amount of connection with Stephen Kenny before all this, was raving about the work. And listen, players a month into this who are getting starts are always going to praise the manager. They're not going to be publicly critical. But I don't think that has ever been an issue. But these things aren't issues until results start going against you. And that's when the stories start coming out. So listen, it appears to be a very happy camp. I say that, except for what's happened COVID-wise, where by all accounts, a lot of the players are pretty livid that Aaron Connolly and Adam Eda were in a position where they couldn't play last Thursday night. But I think that is shared by the management team. But is there a fallout from that when the players go back to their clubs and they realise, some of their teammates are going to the Euros next summer and they're not, because of what they're looking at is pretty fine margins and these players missing? But
you can think that, but then we would still have had to beat the North. And there's no guarantee that's going to happen either. It's not like it was
It's not. But you're going into a game without two of your key players.
Yeah, no, it would have helped. I mean, maybe the two lads should have sat where they were supposed to sit.
Absolutely.
There's a personal responsibility level. There's a personal responsibility level that keeps getting, they're young lads. Come on. It's the same with any of the GAA teams who are celebrating, who then who then potentially become super spreader events. It's let's all take responsibility, as we've been constantly told about this, and stop pointing the fingers at everybody else going, you should have done this, you need to tell me this. It's like, Grant, wash your hands, wear a mask, sit where you're supposed to sit, and who knows what would have happened. That was a bit of a tangent that I didn't necessarily need to go on there. So, style of play tonight, Nate, and then the team, Daryl Shea is going to start at centre-back.
He'll start somewhere across the back four. The great thing about Daryl Shea and why he's going to get a lot of caps quite quickly, I suspect, is that he can cover pretty much anywhere along that back four. I came into this run of games thinking that nobody would play the three matches, that Thursday night was going to be a pretty grueling affair, but it was 90 minutes, 120 minutes. Emotionally, it would take a lot out of the players. But with everything that's gone on, that's obviously not the case. And they do now need a victory as well. So we probably will see a number of the players playing tonight who played every minute of the two games so far. And screw the clubs. Would be rightly, I think, the attitude from Stephen Kenny. So, again, hard to get a grasp. Not everybody fully trained last night. You're not getting in to see the session to see what he might be thinking. But I would expect Darren Randolph will play in goals. You're probably looking at a back four of Doherty, Duffy, O'Shea, Stevens, or maybe if Kevin Long is okay, they rest Shane Duffy. He's got a big match coming up at the weekend. But like, are you resting your captain to prepare for an Old Firm? I don't think you are. Again, middle of midfield, Malumbi and Howerhan, though if he feels Howerhan, who has put in a big, big shift over the last couple of days, and I think been really impressive, unless he thinks maybe he needs a rest, and you put in Josh Cullen there, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was Malumbi and Howerhan again. Connolly will play on the left. Brady will play either on the right or as a number 10. Maybe Brady plays as a 10. Hendrick gets a rest and Daryl Horgan plays on the right. And I think Adam Eadle will get the chance to play as the number 9. Or he may go, you know what, Jeff Hendrick again, like Connor Howerhan's been pretty good, is getting to grips with that position I want him to play. And I just want to get these players on the pitch as often as possible. So, yeah, I think he's got a few options in there. And that's the one thing that's come out of this, actually. Like, we spent the last couple of months when we debating the Ireland team, it's all about Coleman and Doherty. And that is the big choice he has to make. If everybody's back fit and available, he's going to have quite a few choices to make, particularly if he's going with this 4-2-3-1, because Jason Malumbi was excellent. Connor Howard's done nothing wrong over these two games. And if you throw James McCarthy back into the mix, now he's out of tonight's game, and it's two from those three, like suddenly you've got yourself a nice little headache and you're quite happy that you've got plenty of options in there.
What is the story with the Finns? Are they any good?
I think they're probably feel they're at a similar level to us. How much can you read into that game in the Aviva back in September? I think we've pretty much all written it off from both sides. There was no pace to it. They managed to nick a winner. We were very open that night. Ireland were very, very open, very like the Bulgaria game. They caught Ireland in the counter-attack, and that haven't been seen quite as much in the last two games. They won at the weekend. They beat Bulgaria 2-0. Timo Pukki missed that game. He's missed the two games so far, but he was at the press conference yesterday, so it looks as though he's going to start. He had a toe injury, though he's admitted his form and his confidence isn't quite where it, well, certainly wasn't this time last year where he was banging in the goals at the start of the Premier League season. So like, they looked a good technical side in Dublin. They were not that dissimilar to what Ireland are right now, trying to get the ball down, trying to do the right thing. So if you're looking for predictions, you're going with your traditional one-all or maybe nick a win. But yeah, they looked an okay side. They've already qualified for Euro 2020, so
they're better than us, essentially.
Well, they would look at it and go, on recent results, unquestionably they would feel that they're a stronger team than Ireland.
And they've improved since the game in Dublin where they beat us 1-0 as well.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah, you'd have to expect their fitness levels have gone way up as well. And they'd have fairly straightforward victory against Bulgaria at the weekend, and they Pukki coming back into the side.
Yeah. So what if we lose this? What if we lose this game? What suddenly then? How sharp are the knives?
The knives will be sharp, but like, that's the gig. Again, a lot will depend on performance, and because of COVID, everything's overshadowed the fact that they've struggled to get training sessions once again. They've had little time on the training pitch. It sounds like we're making excuses for Stephen Kenny, but like, this is not a normal international window. This is not a normal international situation that any other manager has had to deal with. But I think if Ireland go out and again they play a good brand of football, they create chances and it's a tight game, I think, yeah, the knives might be out, but I don't think they're going to be particularly sharp. If they get ripped apart defensively or they're as open defensively as they were in the first two matches, then there will be criticisms. But I don't think that's going to happen.
OK. News coming through this morning that the New Zealand soccer team is not going to play against England as they were scheduled to on the 12th of November, 13th of November, New Zealand time. This game was supposed to be in England. Obviously, New Zealand has managed to get to a point where life is going on pretty normally. We've seen it in the rugby matches. They're having nearly full stadiums because they can't really be asked going to watch New Zealand against Australia because, you know, it's like, what's the big deal? And so they're saying the shifting nature of travel restrictions and commercial flight availability under COVID means that we do not have certainty we could assemble a squad at Wembley on this day, and defaulting on this fixture at the last minute is not an option. So I wonder how much political pressure they were put under not to go and fly to the COVID rampaging England. You know, in the context of international football.
I was going to think there could be an opportunity there for the FAI in Ireland, but at the moment it seems they're penciled in to play Bosnia in a friendly as a sort of third and fourth place playoff from those Nations League defeats last month, because the international calendar needs to be filled and everybody should play a certain amount of games for the TV deal. It looks as though Ireland are going to be going to Bosnia, whereas if they could just nick in there and step in front of New Zealand, it'd probably be a little bit more lucrative.
Good thinking, Batman. If only the new incoming FAI chief executive had some connections with the FA. Oh, wait.
Football's coming home.
Get him on the phone. Give him a call. Tell him you can have that one for nothing, Nathan.
No bother.
Good thinking, Batman. All right. Thanks a million. Nathan Murphy with us this morning. Cheers, helping lads. To preview Ireland's 1-1 draw with Finland tonight.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.